So when we think about Rosh Hashanah, there are a lot of questions that don't quite fit in, and there's a lot of difficulty focusing on what exactly we're supposed to be feeling, experiencing, what the attitude is supposed to be on Rosh Hashanah. On the one hand, it's Yom HaDin, and therefore it inspires awe and fear and trembling, like we spoke about yesterday. That's one aspect of Rosh Hashanah. But if we just think of it from the perspective of Yom HaDin, like a judge sitting in judgment and giving out, you know, and deciding, okay, this person is Chayav Misa, this person is put in jail, this person is Chayav Malchus, right? If that's the way we think about the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, so then lots of things don't make sense. And we're going to have to broaden our understanding of what the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is all about. So, first of all, the Torah and Chazal don't refer to it as Yom HaDin. It's brought that the world is judged on Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah says, but the name for Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, and the positive refers to it as Keseh, Pekeseh Leom Chagenu, the day of hiddenness. So we have to think about what's hidden on Rosh Hashanah. So why are these the defining aspects of Rosh Hashanah more? Why is that emphasized more than the fact that it's Yom HaDin? Yom HaDin, we would expect to be the end of the year, right? Usually you get your final exam at the end of the year. Let's see how you performed during the year. We have to see what you did with your opportunities, and now you get a judgment on what happened. So what kind of judgment is there on the first day of the year? That's a very strange time to give a judgment. The order of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, right? If Yom Kippur is a day of kapara, that we're mechaper for our averas, that seems like you would want to do that before going to judgment, right? You would want to come into judgment after having done your tshuva and kapara process before being judged. Why would you go into the judgment and only then start the tshuva process? One very blatant, very noticeable, hard to understand attitude towards Rosh Hashanah, we find in the Psukim in Ezra. Okay, the Psukim describe the Gola coming back to Eretz Yisrael, and at the time there was a big tshuva awakening that people were realizing how far they had gone off the derech in Chutz La'aretz in Galus, and now they were awakened to do tshuva and try to improve themselves now that they're coming back to Eretz Yisrael. And the people were very overwrought, very distraught by realizing the severity of the averas that they had fallen into. And on the day of Rosh Hashanah, they came to Ezra, and they were all pouring out their sorrow over their averas. And Ezra's response was very shocking. He told them, "Al tisab ruva al tivku." He says, "You shouldn't be crying today. Lechu achu mashmani mushtu mamtakim ve'al ta'atzvu ki chedvas Hashem hi ma'oznam." He says, "Today is not a day for being sad." He says, "Adarav, go and eat a good hearty meal, drink sweet things, have a festive meal, because the pasuk says ki chedvas Hashem hi ma'oznam, that the joy of Hashem gives you strength." Okay, so we have to understand what that phrase is, but this is a very surprising attitude. It would seem that if people are doing tshuva and people are pouring out their hearts in sorrow over their averas on Rosh Hashanah, that would seem to be a positive thing that Ezra would want to encourage. Why does Ezra Davka go and say, Chet Bas Hashem, he mows them? Go and have a festive meal. So we have to understand what the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is and what the avoda of Rosh Hashanah is. And another Pella that we have to point out is the fact that we said that Yom HaDin, Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. So the two things that we would expect to find on a Yom HaDin are absent from the davening on Rosh Hashanah. You would expect on a Yom HaDin, first of all, that a person would be expressing his remorse, would be saying the Al-Chetz, the Ashamnu Bagadnu, acknowledging our averas. And there's no mention of that. We don't mention our averas at all during the davening of Rosh Hashanah. And the other thing you would expect is that you would expect a person to be davening for a good year, to be making bakashas from Hashem, to ask Hashem to give him a good year, right? If this is the judgment, he's being judged. Everything that's going to happen during the year, kol mizonos of ketsuvim, right? His parnasa for the entire year is being decided right now. So you would think that we would be davening for a good outcome. And in fact, in the nusach of tefillah, we don't daven for personal bakashos. And the Zohar even says that it's a gnai. It says that people who ask for their personal bakashos on Rosh Hashanah, it compares it, it says to a dog who says, hav hav, give me, give me. That it's like a dog asking for things for himself. That's the attitude towards a person asking for his personal bakashas on Rosh Hashanah. So how could that be? If it's Yom HaDin, why would the Zohar look down on asking for your personal bakashas? Okay, so the starting place to understand what Rosh Hashanah is all about is that Rosh Hashanah is the day that man was created. Okay, we refer to it as Hayom Haras Olam. This is the day of the Lashon of Hayrayon, the pregnancy of the world, because that's a reference that Tosafot says that Tishrei was the Olam B'Machshava. It was the Machshava to create the world. The actual creation was in Nisan, but the Machshava to create the world was in Tishrei. That's how Tosafot says Miyashiv. So it's the day of the creation of Adam, or the idea, the plan to create Adam. Now, what does that mean? How does that affect us? So the year is a cycle. The year is a cycle with landmarks throughout the year, and those landmarks repeat themselves from year to year. So if Rosh Hashanah was the day that the world was initially created, so every Rosh Hashanah is be'etzem a new olam b'machshava libro es olam. Okay, there's a new machshava going on that Hashem is now on Rosh Hashanah is going to ki'ilu have the machshava to create a new world for Tafshin Pei. Okay, each year, just like the initial bria, the machshava of the bria was on Rosh Hashanah. So every year we have the same thing, that there's a new ki'ilu decision on Hashem's part that the world needs to be created. The lashon of the Ramchal in Derech Hashem. He says, "Achainyan Hashofar Rosh Hashanah kihine biyom zeh Hakadosh Baruch Hu dan es kol ha'olam kulo u'mechadish kol ha'metzius." That this is the new Hashem is being mechadish. He's recreating the entire world for the next sivu, the next run around, right? Meaning the new year. Okay, so in other words, what is the din? When we talk about Rosh Hashanah as being a Yom HaDin, it's the Yom HaDin in the sense that Hashem is deciding what world to create, right? I'm going to create a new world this year. Now, who's going to be in my world? Who has a place in this new world? What role does each person serve in this world? What are the kelim that I'm going to give to each person in this world, right? What is the world that I'm going to create in Tav Shin Pei going to look like? Okay, so that is a din that's done on Rosh Hashanah. It's done on the first day of the year. That's not a din that's done on the past. That's a din that's done at the beginning, because it's a din that's judging, looking forward towards the future. Okay, the mashal of a din that is forward looking and not backward looking is like a storekeeper who takes inventory. Okay, when a storekeeper checks his inventory, he looks at how many bottles of ketchup he has on the shelf, how many bottles of soda he has on the shelf, right? Because he needs to know what to order for the next cycle, right? So on the one hand, he's looking to see how many bottles sold, how many of this sold, how many of that sold, how much is still in stock, right? So the judgment does assess what went on in the past, but the judgment is not meant to punish the ketchup bottles because he didn't sell enough ketchup. The point is just, I need to know how many bottles to order, right? I need to prepare myself for the coming cycle by assessing what is needed for the new cycle. So that's the din of Rosh Hashanah. The din of Rosh Hashanah is preparing for the coming year. When I need to prepare when Hashem is making a decision, what exactly is the nature of the world that I'm going to create? So what role do I need in this new world? What people belong in my world? What role does each person serve? And what means am I going to give them? Okay? And that's really the whole concept of the din of that's really the whole concept of the din of the Hanhaga of Olam Hazeh is all focused on the means that a person needs. Okay, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva points out that real schar and onesh for averas is really an Olam Haba, right? The real schar that a person deserves for doing a mitzvah can't be minimized to this lowly world. A mitzvah is worth Olam Haba, right? Schar mitzvahs b'hai al-malika. You can't give a real schar for a mitzvah in this world. So the Rambam then has a kasha. So what does it mean when the Torah constantly tells us, if you do mitzvahs, there's going to be rain, there's going to be bountiful crops, there's going to be, you'll be protected from illness, right? All these brachas in this world. So how can that be a schar? How can the Torah tell us that we're going to get all these good things if we do mitzvahs, but the schar of mitzvahs is supposed to be an Olam Haba, not an Olam Hazeh? So the Rambam explains, what are all these parshiyos talking about? That's not really schar. What are they talking about? They're talking about means. Okay, so let's see. Okay. He says, "V'zmanshanu osim kol mitzvos haTorah yagiu elenu tovos haOlam Hazeh kulon." And when we do the mitzvos, we're going to get all of the brachas of Olam Hazeh. V'zmanshanu ovrin alem tikros and haRoos haKsuvos. And if we don't do the mitzvos, we're going to get all of the klolos, all of the tzaros that the Torah tells us about. V'afal pikein ein osan haTovos hein sof matan skaran shel mitzvos v'lo osan haRoos hein sof HaNekama Shinokmin may over all call mitzvahs. He says, but that's not the real tachlis. That's not the real schar or the onesh for averus. Ela kachu atzedvar. Kadosh Baruch Hu nachu nazon la Torah zu etachan. V'kol ha'osek kol hakasuv ba
V'yodo de'a gemura nechona zocha ba'al v'chayim ol mahava. Fine. Then he, I just skipping ahead a little. V'yivtichanu b'torah. She'im nasa usa b'simcha b'torah es nefesh nega b'chach matamid. She'yasir mimenu kol advarim amoni mosanu milasosa. Kigon choli o mochama v'rav v'kiyotibet. V'yashpilanu kol atobos. Hamechazki mesiyadenu lasos es kol atorah. Kigon sova v'shalom v'rav. Rubosa Kesef, the Zav, Kadesh Lonasa, Kol Yamenu, Bidvarim Shah, Agufzar.
So, what's the idea? What are the brachas of Olam Hazeh totally in? They're totally in how we're going to use them. Why does Hashem give us brachas in Olam Hazeh? Because He sees that we want to learn Torah, we want to be Osag Mitzvahs, we want to give tzedakah, we want to do Chesed, so then He gives us the means to be able to accomplish that. Whereas, if we're going to use the means that Hashem gives us in a negative way that doesn't increase Kavod Shemayim, so then we don't deserve them. Okay? So the din, what is the din? The din is, what world does Hashem want to create for the coming year? And what role does everyone play in it? And the primary determining factor is going to be, is this person going to use whatever I give him to help to be Marva Kavod Shemayim? If a person is going to use whatever I give to be Marva Kavod Shemayim, then Hashem is going to be give him a Shefa of Bracha. If he's not, so then Hashem is going to withhold the Bracha. Okay? The mashal to this would be an agent for a sales agent who has an expense account. Right? If a sales agent is sent out to sell a product, so he's everything he needs is taken care of. He has a hotel room, food, car, everything's paid for, right? Because he has a job to accomplish for the company. And as long as the company sees that he's working hard and he's making progress, even if he might not be the most successful sales agent right now, but if they see that he's making progress and he's constantly trying to improve and trying to make himself better, and he's seeing some atzlava, he's starting to make progress. So they're going to keep giving him his expense account so that he can keep progressing. But if they see that he's just, you know, spending his time hanging out in the hotel, having a good time, and he's not scheduling appointments, he's not trying to move the business forward, so then they're going to cut off the expense account, right? So that's the din of Rosh Hashanah. The din of Rosh Hashanah is not a din of what do you deserve to be punished for your actions? Do you deserve to reward for your actions? That's not the point. That's going to be la'asid lavo. That's after Me'ev Esrim, a person gets judged. What scar has he earned through his ma'asim and olam hazeh? The judgment of Rosh Hashanah is, what is the world going to look like next year? And what is the role that each individual plays in that world? And the totsah of that is memela, a question. So what means is Hashem going to provide with each person to accomplish his role in the world? Now, when we talk about the ratzon to create the world and the tachlis for which Hashem created the world, so obviously tachlis, to talk about tachlis from Hashem's perspective is a very hard thing to do. But one of the things that the Torah, one aspect that the Torah was megala to us, is that the bria of the world was to be megala kavod shemayim. That Hashem wanted to reveal his kavod to the created beings. And that was ki'ilu a reason for creating the world. And specifically, the midah of Malchus, the midah of Hashem being Melech over the world. So, because I'll say, I think Rav Yigon says, there's a mamer that in Melech below Am, that a Melech requires a nation to give kavod to the Melech. So there's a certain midah that obviously we don't say that Hashem wasn't lacking anything. Hashem didn't have any need for the Bria, but there is some ratzon that's nizgama that Hashem wanted to express this mitzvah of malchus, and the mitzvah of malchus requires creating beings to give kavod to the melech, and that is, to a certain extent, what we understand about the purpose, the tachlis of Hashem creating the world. Okay, so if we think then about Rosh Hashanah, so that means that every year Hashem is remaking this cheshbon of how can I make a world that expresses my kavod, that expresses the midah of malchus that Hashem wants to be expressed in the world. Okay, so if we want to be part of Hashem's plan, if we want to have a place in this new Bria, so the most essential factor that we need to have on our side is that we need to be supporters of the Malchus, right? If Hashem sees that we're on his side, we're people who are in the world trying to bring Kavod to Shemayim, trying to express the Malchus of Hashem in the world, so then we're part of his plan. That's part of the world that Hashem wants to create, right? But if Chas V'Shalom, we're not in it for Kavod Shemayim, we're not trying to increase Kavod Shemayim, we're not ambassadors for the king, so then Hashem has no role for us. There's no expense account for somebody who's not on the team, who's not working towards the purpose of the Bria. Okay? So that's why Rosh Hashanah, the central theme of Rosh Hashanah is Malchus Shemayim. Right? If you look throughout davening, the central theme in the davening is always Malchus. Because the Midah of Malchus is the Midah of the Bria Sa'olam. The new year of Bria is being created to express this Midah of Malchus. Right? That even though we divide up the davening is divided into three sections, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. But if you look at it, it's not stam three equal sections. The Malchus is the Kedusha Sayom. The bracha of the Kedusha Sayom includes Malchus. Okay, there are two other aspects, and could be that to some extent they're dafka secondary to Malchus, but the Kedusha Sayom is Malchus. Because Malchus is the midah that we need to express on this day. We need to express the fact that we are supporters of Malchus Shemayim. Imagine a political party, right? Imagine that there was an election. Now, usually after an election, there's a winner and a loser. This country doesn't exactly work like that. But assuming that it was a straightforward election where you have two parties and one of them wins the election. So they have an inauguration. And at the inauguration, all the supporters of the new president, whatever it is, the new king, come to celebrate the victory of the, right, to celebrate the Malchus of the king. So to a certain extent, that's what we want to do. What we're doing on Rosh Hashanah is we're showing that we're supporters of Malchus Shemayim. We are part of the team of Malchus Shemayim, right? And when it comes to giving out positions, who's going to be the Secretary of State? Who's going to be the head of the army? Who's going to be the head of the banks? Whatever it is, right? Who's going to be appointed all these positions? All the people who are supporters of the Malchus, right? Anyone who the king sees as loyal and trustworthy and devoted to his Malchus, so he's going to get all the important. They're going to get all the important jobs. Right, somebody who's not excited about the Melech being anointed, he's on from the opposing party, so the Melech has no interest. He's not going to do him any favors because he's not part of the team. So the most fundamental focus of the day of Rosh Hashanah is we're supporters of the Melech. We are here because we want to be. we want to spread Kavod Shamayim. We want to spread Hashem's Malchus. And obviously, right, just to keep in perspective, right, when we say we're supportive of the Malchus of Hashem, so on the one hand, that means big ideas that we want the whole world to accept Hashem's Malchus. And we talk about in the Lashonos of Davening that every Bria, every person and entity in the Bria should all accept Hashem's Malchus and bow down to Hashem and acknowledge Hashem's greatness. But obviously, we always have to keep in mind that when Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says that when you have Kavan, it says when you say Kriya Shema, you're supposed to be Marith in Echad, it says you're supposed to have kavanas that you're being mamlich Hashem over the four corners of the world and the ten rikiyim. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter always points out that, and of course, don't forget to be mamlich on yourself also. In other words, the most fundamental malchus of Hashem is that I am a servant of Hashem and all of my actions are devoted towards the king. That everything that I do is within the guidelines set down by the king and for the purpose of giving kavod to the king. Okay, so that is the essential statement that we're making on Rosh Hashanah, is that we are supporters of the Melech. We're here to celebrate Malchus Shemayim and to commit ourselves to Hashem's Malchus, and therefore to earn ourselves in a place in the king's Malchus. Okay, now if we take our mashal a step further, okay, so now, what do you think would happen if the king was at the coronation, the inauguration ceremony, whatever it is, right? And some guy would come over and whisper into his ear, you know, I'm really a good soldier. I would make a great general. I think you should appoint me general over your army. What do you think the king's reaction would be at that moment in time, right? What a chutzpah, right? Who's talking about jobs? Who's talking about assignments, right? Right now we're celebrating the Malchus of the king, right? This is the inauguration. Everyone's came here to give me kavod. You're interested you just want to get ahead. You just want to take advantage of this opportunity to get in a good word and try to get what you want out of me. It's a chutzpah, right? The first thing is we're here to express kavod shemayim. We're Malchus shemayim. We're here to express that we're on the team, we're committed, we're focused on moving forward. Okay? Afterwards, then there's going to be a time where we have to start taking practical steps how we're going to express that l'maisa. But that's not now. That's not on Rosh Hashanah. Okay? So that's l'chora, what the Zohar has in mind, this idea that it's not a time for asking for personal bakashos. Of course, we have in mind and we know that the gzeira is being given of Mizonos of Ketsuvin Mirash Hashanah, right? But the way to be Zocha and Din is Dafka not by focusing on ourselves. The way to be Zocha and Din is Dafka by acknowledging that our whole tachlis is to express Kavod Shemayim, and then Memela, our Gzar Din is just going to be a natural outcome of that, that Hashem sees that we're on the team and we're part of the supporters of the Malchus. The Sfas Emes points out, he says, that's why we do the simanim on the night of Rosh Hashanah. We bring out the simanim, the apples and honey and the fish heads, right? We say all the simanim. So the Sfas Emes explains that it's gufa because it's not appropriate to daven explicitly for our own personal needs, but b'chol zot, it's on our minds that this is the Yom HaDin and our judgment is being decided, and therefore we bring it derech remez. We like kind of sneak it in, right? As a remez in the simanim, we say that these should be a simon for a good year. Okay, but it's goof of this metach. That on the one hand, it's on our mind that we know that everything essential is being determined now, but on the other hand, we don't want to come out and state our personal needs explicitly, because that would undermine the kavod shemayim of the coronation of the melech at this time. Okay, so we've answered most of the questions, right? We understand what Rosh Hashanah is. We understand what the nature of the din is, why we don't daven explicitly for our needs. We understand a lot more about the attitude of Nechemiah, of Chedras Hashem Himo'ozgan, that it's a time for expressing Kavod Shamayim. That requires enthusiasm, energy. It's not a time for sadness. Sadness is too personal, too self-focused. Don't focus on yourself, where you are. Just look at the big picture that we're trying to express Kavod Shamayim and be mamlecha and reestablish Hashem's malchus in the world. Yeah.
Wasn't that proper to ask for our own needs? That way we could make like a higher level of Kavod Shamayim and malchus. Why is that not?
It's not the right time. There's two parts. One is we're gonna see in a second that you haven't purified yourself enough to really say that honestly. Okay, we're going to see that there's an Indian that you have to go through a tkufa of clarifying that and making it real that really is your only ratzon. That's how the Shiri Das says it. He says that on Yom Kippur Dafka you can daven for yourself, because by then you've already purified yourself to the point where that you're saying it'll leave it to Emes, that really is your true kavana. Whereas here it would get kind of false. You're not really holding by that madriga. Could be al derech, the al derech subak. It could be it's also just not the right time and place. It's now we're focusing solely on Hashem's malchus. Anything personal is going to take away from that. Okay, now the last part I want to talk about is the relationship between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So b'chol zot, it still seems strange why we don't do the tshuva process before Rosh Hashanah. We should get everything all ready to go by Rosh Hashanah. We should have already purified ourselves and gotten ourselves on track that we're 100% all systems go. We're into Malchus Shamayim after having done tshuva for all of our avirus. So to understand this, I'll start with a mashal. So let's imagine that a ship was out on a long journey, and all of a sudden a terrible storm came. And the storm was tossing, and everything was total havoc. Right, the boat was tossed completely out of its original path where it was supposed to be heading, and the whole boat got filled with water, and all of the instrument panels are all soaked and smashed and battered, right? And finally, the storm abates, and now the captain says, okay, now we have to get back on course. So he checks his instrument panels, and he gets a reading, and now he tries to get back on course where he was heading. And he travels and travels and travels. He's not getting to the destination, right? Because what went on? What happened? The storm ruined his instrument panel, right? The same storm that knocked him out of course, it also got his instruments all got waterlogged and smashed. None of his instruments are working. So he's trying to get himself on course, but he's using the wrong instruments, right? What does he need to do, obviously? The first thing he needs to do is fix the instruments. First, he has to make sure that his compass is really pointing north. He has to make sure that whatever, right, that each of the implements is functioning properly. Everything is giving him the proper measurements. And then he can try to chart his new course. Holds on that his instruments are out of whack, so then he can't chart a new course. Okay? This is the nekuda of the difficulty of doing tshuva. That when a person does an aveira, it brings a team to malev. It brings with it a certain blockage of clarity in his avodas Hashem. I like to quote Yoda, the told Luke Skywalker that once you've started down the dark path, forever will it dominate your destiny. Okay, so the pashtas, you would think that once a person is nichshal in chet, it's metavdim alev, and it's just going to keep building and snowballing, and he's going to get worse and worse and worse, right? So how does a person get himself out of that? How do you get out of the cycle of timtum alev, that every avera, gureras avera, every avera you do, you get more and more embedded in chet, it becomes harder and harder to find the right path. So the Shire Das brings a pasuk. It says, one second. Here it says, Ashrei Nesui Pesha Kisui Chata. Okay, so the Medrash Darshan's Ashrei Ladam Shu Gavoa Mipshal, the Lo Pshal Gavoa Mimenu. The Ashrei, a person who rises above his state. Okay, what does that mean to rise above his state? So the way the Nefesh HaChaim explains, the Nefesh HaChaim says that a person's neshama is comparable to a chain with interlocking links. Okay, he says that the neshama is like a chain that starts down in the physical world and goes up to the highest spiritual realms. And it's like interlocking chains. Each level of the neshama interacts with the level below it. So he says that what happens is when a person's goof is involved in chet, that brings the timtum, and the timtum progresses up the ladder. And it is metamtim higher and higher levels of his neshama. And the more the person is involved in chet, the deeper the timtum gets. And the way that a person does tshuva is by awakening the shorish and neshama. He says that there's always a shorish and neshama, the pintel yid they talk about, that remains pure. And if a person can connect to that, if a person can relate to that inner neshama, then he can bring that tara from the inner neshama and work its way down to purify the goof. Okay, that's the basic process. So the first step in the tshuva process has to be getting above the chet, getting to a point where you're in touch with your neshama, where you are a spiritual being, where you're a person who is connected to the spiritual world. That's the starting point of where you can be matire yourself. The Shira Dasir also brings in that same passage, it says Nisui Pasha Kisui Chata, that he's Mechasa the Chet. So the Shira Das brings that's what Rosh Hashanah is called, Kesa, right? Rosh Hashanah is called the day of hiddenness, right? What's hidden? He says the averas are hidden. It's ki'ilu, we push them under the bed, we cover them up with a blanket, the averas are hidden, okay? As opposed to Yom Kippur, what's a lashon of Kippur? Mechaper is a lashon of cleansing, okay? So Yom Kippur is the day that we cleanse the averas. So Rosh Hashanah, we didn't cleanse anything, it's still there, it's just, we just put it aside, we hid it, okay? Because that's what we do on Rosh Hashanah. We're not trying to find what did I do wrong exactly and how exactly am I going to fix it. Because until you get your instrument straight, you're not going to be able to figure out where you're off track. You're not going to be able to figure out what you're doing wrong or how you can improve it, because all of your instruments are all out of whack. Okay, the first thing you need to do is get your instruments back in sync. And the way you do that is by this ruchnius, this neshamatic connecting to your neshama, and going back to the beginning of the discussion, connecting to Malchus Shemayim, connecting to the big picture that, yes, we're committed to bringing Kavod Shemayim. Yes, I realize that my purpose in the world is to express Kavod Shemayim. The more that I become aware of that and I focus on that aspect of my neshama,
So that gives me the perspective to be able to move forward and then get to work on the details and try to use my newly honed instruments to make the correct assessment of what I need to improve and how. Okay, this is the other interpretation of Hashem Ori V'Yishi. With David Hashem Ori V'Yishi, the Ori is Rosh Hashanah. So in this sense, the Ori is the light that lights up the neshama and helps us to recalibrate our spiritual judgment. Okay, and then the Yishi, then we can get to the Yeshua by doing the proper tshuva and the kapara. We can actually be purified from the chet on Yom Kippur. Okay, but the first step has to be, we have to get this higher perspective. We have to raise ourselves up through the enthusiasm of the Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim of Rosh Hashanah. That new perspective, that new elevation in our mindset, that is what enables us to then get down to work and do the detailed cheshbon and nefesh and an assessment of what exactly we need to do. Okay, so in the same thing in the mashal of the inauguration or the coronation, so yes, it's great to have a big party and to have hundreds of thousands of people cheering, long live the king, whatever, right? But then the next day, you wake up and you say, okay, now we have to get down to work. We have to, if we're going to create a malchus, so that means that we have to have generals and we have to have corporals and whatever and all along the rung, right? We have to get a functioning army. We have to make sure everything's running the way it's supposed to be working. We have to have a postal system. We have to have a banking system, right? We have to, all those little details, right? Eventually, we have to sit down and we have to get all those details worked out and make sure that the malchus is running the way it's supposed to be running, okay? So that's what happens after Rosh Hashanah, after we've gotten this Hisorus and this focus and this awakening of our purpose in the world and our ideals and our goals and what we want to focus on. But then we have to go and do the real detailed work of the Avoda of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva and Yom Kippur to get to the real kapara. That we don't want constantly to have our averas over there, you know, stuffed under the carpet, right? Eventually, we have to deal with those averas, right? The Shir Hadas says that it's very nice to raise yourself up in the enthusiasm of Rosh Hashanah to leave the chet behind, but eventually, when that enthusiasm runs out, when all of that excitement of accepting Malchus Shemayim, once you get back to the day-to-day drudgery of life, at some point you're going to say, wait a second, but I still have all these averas and it's still part of me, right? They're still there. All the timtum of the lower levels of your guf and neshama are still there. And eventually when you lose the inspiration, they're going to take control again. Okay. And therefore there's an essential follow-up that we have to say, okay, now that we have this new perspective, we have this new focus, now we have to get the kapara. We have to go and now deal with all of those averas and find a way of purifying them and moving forward in each area and making kabbalas and thinking of ways that we're going to do better in the future and get the kapara and bring the tara all the way down to the goof, all the way down to the lower parts of our existence. We have to bring that all lamaisa in the tshuva process. Okay, so now we understand the last questions that we had about the order of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. So this is obviously the necessary order that we need to first get this Hashem Ori, the inspiration, the focus, the goals, the big picture. And then we have the new level of clarity from the lens of our commitment to Malchus Shemayim. Now we look back at our actions and say, oh, that's not how could a person who's meant to be a messenger of the king? How can I do such lowly things? How can I bring myself, degrade myself with these averas? I'm so much beyond that. And then we do the real work of the tshuva, and we correct those specific hanagas. Okay, and that's the so that leads us to the kapara of Yom Kippur. Okay, and then just to realize, then there's eventually the outcome of all of that is then we move on to Sukkos, right? Kids b'nei v'suko. That's the there's eventually then going to be a celebration as Zman Simchaseinu, which now that we've removed all the barriers, we've gotten the kapara, then we can reconnect to Hashem and have a real close relationship with all the barriers removed. Okay, people say that that's the remez of the tekiah shofar, that you start with a tekiah and then a shvarim and trua, the broken down sounds, and then you go back to the tekiah. And you have to start with the tekiah, the davar shalom, is with the positive can-do attitude of Rosh Hashanah. Then you have the breakdown where you realize, yeah, but I'm not there yet. I still have problems. I still have averas that I have to be mitaken. A series of Meitshuv and Yom Kippur. But then the goal is to then get back to the shalom, to get back to the tekiah where everything is shalom again. And we're serving Hashem with simcha and with enthusiasm as after having completed the process. Okay, so that's the goal. Now we're on the first stage, the Rosh Hashanah, Hashem, David Hashem Ori, trying to participate in being Mamluch Hashem and accepting Hashem's Malchus on ourselves and setting the stage then to be ready to really try to move in a practical sense towards making that connection with Hashem through the Tshuva process.